You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so it's been a busy show. A very quick baseball note. Jeff Passan reporting that former Yankee Jay Happ has just signed a one-year contract with the Minnesota Twins. And I will make a prediction, everybody. He's going to have a terrific year. In that ballpark, when he pitches every 5 days, and he wasn't able to do that with all the skipped days and canceled series, wasn't able to do that when he was in the rotation and pitched every 5 days, he did a really good job. The guy could still pitch. That's a great signing for the Twins. A one-year deal as he tries to maybe reestablish his value, but he's going to go year to year now anyway because of his age. So the Twins signed Jay Happ. This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana, Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Big story tonight is going to be the unveiling of the Nets' Big Three. We've already seen KD play with James Harden. We have not seen Kyrie Irving play with the two of them. That happens tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers in Cleveland. And I'm just wondering how it's going to work. So me wondering does nothing, but bringing in the great Tim Legler might bring some clarity to that question. Tim, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing?
I am doing very well, gentlemen. How are you? I'm excited tonight to see what this looks like everybody else.
All right, so here's my biggest worry. When you had KD and Harden together these past few games, they played well together. They worked off each other very well. Now you bring in a guy who essentially is ball dominant like Harden. How do you make three as good as two?
It's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough. You know, I was watching this team play the first two games with KD and Harden together. And the first thing that struck me was, and I don't think this is an overstatement, I think those two guys together represent the greatest raw offensive tandem in the history of this league. I don't think there's ever been two guys that good offensively in the totality of the game offensively, what they create and what they score for themselves. You know, Kobe and Shaq, I guess, are pretty close, but you know, you can't compare a guy like Shaq, who dominated in the paint, to two guys that can beat you with playmaking or scoring from anywhere, literally, on the floor. So in watching it, I'm just mind blown by how much firepower you have with those two players. And it looked like they really were working well together. They have a good feel for each other. They've known each other a long time. They think they've got a good personal relationship. The pieces around them are perfect complements. Joe Harris and DeAndre Jordan and Jeff Green and Shamet and those guys, they fit in perfectly. So now I'm saying, man, wouldn't it be nice if you could just see this team just as is, just the rest of the season? I think then you got a team that's going to compete for a championship. Now, you add Kyrie to the mix, and obviously, you know, it's the greatest trio of offensive players we've ever seen in NBA history. But I do wonder, how are you going to add another dribble-dominant player into the mix when you have struck such a nice balance with the two guys that are out there now running the show? Very, very difficult to pull this off. I think what's going to happen is if Steve Nash is smart, you know, he's not going to be able to do it at the beginning of the game or the beginning of the second half and probably the last 6 minutes. So if you take the first 6 minutes of each half and the last 6 minutes of the game, that's 18 minutes they're all going to be out there together. But the other 30 minutes in the course of the game, I think Steve Nash would be very smart to make sure he just rotates those guys out so there's never more than two on the court at a time. I don't see how anybody's going to get enough responsibility to basketball to be happy, particularly Kyrie. Durant is a different animal almost because it's so easy for him the way that he scores. I think Kyrie and Harden, you know, the amount of dribbling necessary for them to create their action, I just think that they're going to step on each other's toes, and there's going to be times when it's just not going to be fulfilling for one of those guys. And I think more often than not, it's going to be Kyrie Irving.
And you worry about that, Tim, right? Because he's the guy that you just kind of get concerned about, and it takes leadership. And Durant, right, I think, is the best player, but everybody says, well, he's not that kind of leader. He's not someone like that. Can that end up being a problem for this team if Durant doesn't step up and be the true alpha dog and leader of this team?
Yeah, look, I don't know if he's going to change his personality type. There's no question in my mind it's his team, and I think everybody there acknowledges that. I just think they know that it's Kevin Durant's on a different level. And so it's his show. Now, does that mean he's going to be the guy that's going to, you know, interject his voice, you know, to make sure this goes smoother when it looks like maybe there's going to be some ruffled feathers at times and some guys that are not content? And I don't know if he's that type of player. I think what's going to happen is it's going to fall to Kyrie to get your head right and wrap it around this, because you're accepting now a situation when you were at your very best in your career, you were riding shotgun. Well, now they're asking you to sit in the back seat, okay? And when you're in the back seat, you don't have control of the radio. Sometimes you don't have climate control back there. You're along for the ride when you're in the back seat. And there'll be times when, you know, somebody gets out of the car to use the go to the rest area, he can slide up to the front seat. But for the most part, he's the third option. And that's the way it's going to be, because James Harden is a better version, much better version, of what Kyrie Irving is, because of his ability to not only score at will, but the way that he controls the game with his passing. It's a different level of a playmaker. So when Kyrie's out there with him, you know, and I know they're going to facilitate, and they're going to try to pacify him by giving him the ball, because that's when he's at his best, but I just don't think that's when this team is going to be at their best. So how does he accept being off the ball more, not having the ball to the percentage of, you know, a game that he normally has in his career? These are going to be major things for him to wrap his head around. And as we've seen, when he doesn't wrap his head around something, it becomes a very heavy, dark, toxic atmosphere. And if that's the case, you've got a problem on your hands in terms of fulfilling your goal, getting this thing across the finish line and winning a championship. So all eyes are on him, and he has obviously even put more of himself in the crosshairs because of this absence from the team and the fact that they played so well the last two games offensively. Now he's coming into the mix here, and if they struggle, their offense looks disjointed, or they lose some games to some of these teams they're supposed to beat coming up, it's all going to fall at his feet. And that's when you worry about, like, what's the reaction going to be? How is this locker room going to handle that?
See, I'm wondering, if Kyrie wasn't the person that, you know, just misses seven games and we never know why, if he was all in, are the Nets better with Kyrie and Durant and Jared Allen and Caris LeVert before they found the small mass on his kidney, or are they better with these problems right now?
Oh, that's a great question. I thought you were going to ask me, are they better with Kyrie and KD and the rest of those guys, or are they better with Harden and KD without Kyrie? You know, that's, I guess, not a fair question, because that's not real. He's right here. It's going to happen. But the best combination you could put together is the one we've just seen with Harden and Durant.
Even without the real center? Because I think they will miss Jared Allen, in my opinion, Tim.
No, they will. And that was a tough piece for me and all that to give up. That was a very tough piece. I will say, you know, when you're going to spoon feed DeAndre Jordan a handful of layups and dunks a game, the offensive production, he could probably replicate what Jared Allen could have done as a starter. Jared Allen's a little bit more active. He covers a little bit more ground defensively, but DeAndre Jordan is a serviceable backline defender. You know, from a rebounding standpoint, they're going to be very similar. I think you can get close to the production out of DeAndre Jordan that you could have out of Jared Allen. And to me, Joe Harris, I was teasing with somebody earlier today. I said I would just love to be able to come back in my next life and be Joe Harris in this life, because he's not going to take another contested shot all year. He's got a great stroke as it is. He's one of the best shooters in the game. And the looks he's going to get, you know, there's a very good chance. I shot over 50% from the three a couple times in my career, and I think the standards for the shot have dropped in terms of what you accept to be in a good percentage. A lot of guys now are low, mid-40s are considered great three-point shooters. I think Joe Harris has a chance to be. He could be mid-50s, I mean, the rest of the season.
Wow.
With the quality of looks that he's going to get. So he's a perfect complement. Jeff Green, the way he can spot up, shoot the ball, and he also takes the pressure off KD, being able to play the four spot and guard four so KD can play the three a little bit more. I just really liked what I've seen the last two games. And now I have to go and I've got to analyze what this is I'm going to watch tonight. You're not going to come to a conclusion after one game. Let's give it, you know, 10, 12 games and let's see what this looks like. But I'm very skeptical that this is something that's going to be seamless. I think they're going to have some problems, and it's all going to relate to Kyrie Irving once he gets out there and understanding and being referred to, by the way, all the time as third option, you know, third guy. When you start hearing those kinds of things and you think you are the best option, which he clearly does in his own mind, that's really hard to listen to on a daily basis and be completely bought in.
So let's
see.
So you think there's a chance that if we turn on the game tonight, which we will, 7 o'clock on the YES Network right here in New York, we will potentially see a step backwards from what we saw against Milwaukee the other night?
Well, look, they're playing a bad team, and they're playing a bad team that's also a little bit shorthanded. So, you know, I don't know if I'm expecting Cleveland to make their offense look bad. You know, but when they start playing teams that are bona fide top five either conference teams, you know, yeah, I think you're going to see at times it's going to be less of a flow than we've seen the last two games. Because one thing I was really impressed with James Harden is a guy that, you know, I mean, he dribbled the air out of the ball in Houston. But every possession was just that and a four guys spotting up a three-point line watching for the most part and then him making a play, either a lob to the dive guy or a kick out for a three, period. That was their offense. It was a little bit different in these two games because of the way KD plays, and he's got to get the ball earlier in the shot clock to be able to go operate and get to his mid-range game or his deep game. The ball was moving to the shooters when it needed to. The drop-offs to the dive guys and the guys around the rim was there. I thought the ball movement was pretty good. Kyrie Irving is not a guy that's very decisive in the way he plays offensively. He's a guy that likes to put it down. He likes to play with it and show you his package, and he uses his dribble to set you up because he's a smaller guard, and he's got an incredible handle, and he wants to use that to create better opportunity for himself. So I'm picturing the ball moving around the perimeter with these three players. And when you add a third guy to the mix that likes to dribble it that much, I just think it's going to be harder to maintain a flow. I'm worried they're going to become more predictable because of those three guys eating up the clock every possession, and now you become more of a straight isolation team, and teams like that don't win championships.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, now, Tim, in closing, I'm just wondering, I'm giddy today. I'm so looking forward to watching how this plays out. I think many people in the NBA feel the same way. You love this sport. You played this sport for a living. Are you as excited as just us?
Yes, definitely. And, you know, if doing this is my 20th season doing this since I retired. And, you know, these seasons are long, and you're so excited in the beginning of the season because there's new names, new places, there's new coaches, there's rookies coming in, right? And you're so excited to cover that first week. And then as you get into, you know, you get into this portion where everybody's played 14, 15 games, it starts to become a little bit mundane except for the big matchups. And you're always looking for something as an analyst. Like, give me some juice tonight going into these games where I have my notes ready to go and I can't wait to start writing down what I'm seeing because it's exciting to think what this is going to look like. You know, good or bad, it's still exciting from an analytical standpoint to take a look at this and break it down. So yes, I'm with you 100%. You know, it's not even close to the best game of the night, but that is the game that everybody is obviously intrigued by. What is this going to look like? And people are going to jump to ridiculous conclusions one way or another based on tonight. I think this is something that we'll get a taste of it, but I don't think we're going to get a real feel for the sustainability of this for about a month. Give it some time and let's see how guys react after games. Let's see what happens at press conferences. Let's see what happens, you know, on off days. Let's see if they can figure out a way to manage this collectively and understand that some nights you have to sacrifice for the good of winning. And it's something that, he hasn't been asked to do a ton of. And so let's see if Kyrie can wrap his head around it. And also Harden is going to have to sacrifice a little bit. Durant, the one guy I'm not worried about. He can go get 30 any night efficiently as possible with very little wasted motion. He's not an issue. That's why he can play with anybody, and he knows it. Those other two guys, that is a very interesting pairing.
Now, it's fair to say then, Tim, we're talking with Tim Legler here on the Michael Kay Show, this might be the sexiest big three, but it doesn't fit. I mean, the three in Miami, they fit. They had roles. They fit. The big three in Golden State fit. So, yeah, you put together three great players, but it's not exactly the perfect fit. That's fair, right?
No. I'd even go the three big three that they had in Boston was a better fit.
Right.
You know, with KG, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen. I mean, you think about those. You had a big, you had an isolation-type player, and then you had one of the best shooters that ever lived, and a point guard to help run the show in Rondo. Your Golden State had their guys, plus they had Draymond Green, a facilitator who fit perfectly in that role. In Miami, LeBron was the playmaker for the most part. Dwayne Wade was the slasher, the raw scorer. And then Chris Bosh was the guy that clearly decided that I'm going to take a huge step back in my responsibility from what I had in Toronto. But my ability to step out and spread the floor gives you guys space, and I fit with what you do. This is different. Now, Kyrie and KD are great catch-and-shoot players. I mean, Harden is not a guy that's a great catch-and-shoot player. He doesn't really do it much. He likes to put it down. Kyrie's kind of the same. So you think, okay, well, they can play off the ball and catch and shoot, but that's not really how they get into their rhythm. They get into their rhythm by getting into the bounce and getting into situations where they can get a defender changing direction so that they can either go by him, step back, or whatever it may be. That requires putting the ball on the floor. The more you do that on the given possession when the ball is swung, the easier it is for teams to recover out from the initial action. And in the first one, it was James Harden, run pick and roll, draw two, kick it to Durant. He's got all kinds of space, boom, bucket, or vice versa. When you now add a third guy in there that the ball could potentially get swung twice on the same possession and put back down again to create action, it actually can make it easier for defenses to rotate out of the initial action and get back and have time to recover and keep guys in front. So that's the kind of thing, like that's an example of the kind of thing I'm looking for tonight.
Well, enjoy the game. Thank you for coming on. We always love you breaking it down with us. Thanks, Tim.
My pleasure, guys.
All right, that's Tim Legler. Let's go right to the phone. Spike's been on hold for a while, wants to talk about this. Spike in New Jersey.
Hey, guys. Good conversation with Legs. This is a throwback. I guess you're old enough to remember the ABA. I don't think you are, Peter, but Michael and Don are. You're not going to win 138-135 that frequently. You're just not going to win it. I compare this three. Kevin Durant is like a Jabbar. He has an unstoppable shot, and he does play defense. He's improved, and he can rebound. He's just so smooth to watch. He's just so relaxed. It's just a joy to watch him. Harden and Irving are not good help defenders or good on the man defenders, but they can both score anytime they want and get to the free throw line. What's going to happen when they run in, and again, I'm going to throw Boston and Philly at you because they play defense and Milwaukee plays some defense. I don't know what's going to happen when they hit a bad patch.
That's why it's so fascinating. Nobody knows how this is going to play out.
Well, and interesting this week, too, Spike, because we'll get to see them tonight and Friday against Cleveland, and then Saturday night they play Miami. So very curious to see.
All right, but they're playing inferior teams. Cleveland's backcourt is out, and I'll tell you what they need. They need a rebounder. They could use Andre Drummond.
Well, that's why I said, Spike, giving up Jared Allen was really tough because you're losing defense. You're losing a guy that could be there for the next 10 years, and he's better than DeAndre Jordan overall. But I'm looking forward to this. I really am. I'm looking forward to seeing how this works. This is a grand experiment, So bring it on. Tonight, 6:30, there's a pregame on. Yes, so they'll leave our show at 6:30. But we'll stay on the radio until 7. And then at 7 o'clock, the tip-off for the Nets in Cleveland against the Cavs and the unveiling of the Big Three. Can't wait. I really can't wait. All right. We keep hearing about Deshaun Watson. Well, let's bring in Keyshawn, see what he thinks. I know he's a huge Sam fan. But would he make this move and give up all that draft capital for Deshaun? Keyshawn Johnson joins us in just a moment, so stick around for that. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.